everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend on the other side of the glass, Mr. Bob Dio. Bob has been our new producer and director here on the program now, going on about 5 weeks since the changeover with the new ownership, Portland, Oregon-based Bustos Media owning now KVOI. They also have The Groove is part of our family of stations, and it's exciting. We've got new studios being built. You might hear a little bit of drilling at times during the hour, but there's a lot going on here at KVOI. We welcome you on this Thursday, December the 6th, 2018. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Our new logo, I like it. Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. Of course, we've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. Pretty much 99% of every show I have done on the radio since January 3rd, 2011 is archived now on my website. Very easy to use, buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. Let's get right at it. President of the University of Arizona, Robert Robbins, with me in studio. President Robbins, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to come and spend time with you.
I like your jacket.
Yeah, it's good. It's warm.
You got a new U of A jacket that, you know, you and I don't do real well with cold weather.
No. I when it goes below 70, I have a problem.
Hey, exciting, and I know you love sports. Basketball's looking good, and how about the women's team?
Women's team is doing it. Coach Barnes, she told me last year, you know, just be patient. We're going to be really good next year. She's got some great recruits, and they're playing well.
There is a new blueprint, I guess you could call it a new roadmap for the future of the University of Arizona. I want to take a little bit of a deep dive into that. This is a strategic plan, and I know one of the first things you tackled when you came to the University of Arizona was thinking about putting the plan together. How would you characterize this roadmap, this blueprint?
Well, I think it's reimagining the land-grant university for what we're in, the fourth industrial revolution, and how we, with this incredible responsibility of being Arizona's land-grant university, how are we going to respond to all of the things that are going on? We were just talking about you're not going to have any knobs anymore. You're all digital.
Yeah, the new studio, it's all digital.
Yeah. And so the world is all digital, but it's even beyond digital. It's now the integration of physical, biological, and digital sciences. And so this plan is really changing the culture of the university to focus on students. How can we help our students prepare for this rapidly changing, ever-evolving world and give them the skills to go out and simply realize their hopes and dreams, get a job that they want, go to the graduate school or professional school that they want, and give them tangible assets and skills that can go out and make them competitive in this very competitive global workforce.
We are in a transition period, not only in this country, but around the world. Jim Cantrell spent a half hour with me. Jim is the CEO and co-founder of Vector Space Systems. He was with me here for a half an hour on the program, and his whole concept now, they're going to be launching these very small mini satellites.
Right.
That what he has envisioned, and it's going to be good for Tucson, it's going to be good for the University of Arizona. I mean, the whole kind of the synergy that's developing around space.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, we just the OSIRIS-REx project, we're the only university that's ever been given the incredible responsibility of running not one but two NASA missions now. They just don't let universities do that. And OSIRIS-REx is our second one. And so Tucson, one of the parts of the strategic plan and the third pillar around reimagining the university is a land grant in the fourth industrial revolution is to help grow the regional economy and the state economy. So Tucson is a real hotbed, and Vector is sort of one of the real leaders in this area around not only space exploration, but also business opportunities in space. Vector has figured out a way to launch these small satellites less expensively. So you're going to see over the next 3, 5, 10 years a real build around our strategic plan supporting the regional economy and things that we can. We're in the knowledge discovery and translating fundamental discoveries into commercializable products that simply make the world a better place, and transmission of that knowledge to our students to prepare them to go out and be the next leaders.
How does the U of A become the number one space school, number one ranked? I don't know where we are right now.
We're at the top.
Okay.
We are at the top. So okay. It's how do we maintain it?
There you go.
What's the next big OSIRIS-REx, you know, $100 million project? And we're already planning for that. And we do that by getting the right people. And of course, building on the legacy of the university and being in beautiful Tucson, where we have 300 plus days of great access to the universe every night so that we can explore. But also around optical science. Optical science is top, and there's so many things that are going on in optical science. And
wasn't there a huge grant that came through, or a gift at optical science?
Yes, there's a gift that that was just made to...
It's one of the largest gifts, I think, in the university's history.
It's the largest gift to support professorships so that we can go out. There are 10 new endowed chairs that we can now go out and get people from MIT, Stanford, Caltech, you know, to come here and be part of continuing to maintain our number one leadership position.
I know we're looking also breaking into the top 10, our top 100 in the U.S. News and World Report Best Colleges rankings.
Yeah, we're at 106 now. And I said, you know, one of the goals when I got here was to be a top 100 overall and a top 50 public. And we achieved the second objective. We're now ranked 46 among public universities, but we're ranked 38 in terms of research expenditures. And I see in this strategic plan, particularly around space, optical science, the environment, and health sciences. I mean, we're the only university in the country with two medical schools, one here and one in Phoenix. And so I see great opportunity to go from the 38 ranking into the top 25 in terms of research expenditures.
How have donations been to the university?
Last year was the all-time high, $317 million. But going forward, in order for us to build and to fund the strategic plan, we're going to have to get to a level of about $400 million a year in fundraising over the next 5 to 8 years in order to be able to have the resources to invest in this strategic plan, which I think is bold and transformational for the university.
How does that, those kinds of numbers that you said for donors, how does that compare to other, say, Pac-12 teams or universities?
Universities. So before I left Stanford, we embarked on the largest fundraising campaign in U.S. history. It was a five-year plan at, I think it was $4.3 billion.
Billion.
And stopped it. I think it was a 7 or 8 year plan, and stopped it after 5 or 6 years at $6.7 billion. So we're anticipating something around a $3 to $4 billion campaign, which for a public land grant university would be quite aspirational. That basically translates into over the next 8 years, we have to raise $1 million a day.
Whoa.
Every day.
Whoa.
I mean, you think about it. That's $365 million a year for 8 years. That gets us over $3
billion. Wow.
And so last year was the largest ever at 317, and we've got to do even better going forward.
Let's take a break right here, Dr. Robbins. I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker, Steve, they do such a great job up there with all of, I say up there, they're up in the foothills with their all of their baked goods. And this is the time of year they really, really shine around Christmas time. They've got all the Christmas cookies and the breads that they serve on their sandwiches right now at lunch. The rustic bread is my favorite that Steve puts together. He puts together a hot turkey sandwich, Dr. Robbins, on that slightly toasted rustic bread. Does that sound good or what?
Sounds so good. It's my biggest weakness, Bill, is bread.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Steve and the gang at Mona's Danish Bakery have a wide variety of breads to choose from. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. It's monasdanishbakery.com. Also, you can go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you will see about 24 supporters and partners that we have on this program. Wonderful people who present wonderful products to our community. We are just so delighted that these people believe in what we do on the Buckmaster Show and are able to bring you our programs at Tucson's, really, our town square every weekday from noon to 1 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Another one of our great sponsors is Green Things. If you've not been out to Green Things on East River Road, 3384, I strongly recommend going by. They started off with 25,000 poinsettias, filling greenhouse after greenhouse, grown right there at Green Things, every imaginable color. I took the tour over there on Saturday, saw it's just an amazing sight. And so if you're looking to decorate the house with poinsettias, I strongly recommend going by Green Things. I also did the tour of Zocalo Village, which they have created on their 13-acre site. This is like an entire Mexican village. They have five different standing buildings filled with the most outstanding merchandise from all over Latin America. Some of that carving and the woodwork from Peru and Mexico, just on mesquite wood. Wonderful things over at Green Things. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Dr. Robbins is with us. Robert Robbins, as you can tell, Dr. Robbins, I get very passionate about my partners and my sponsors. And I'm not just saying, it's stuff I believe in.
Yes.
They're people I believe in.
And that's the key. And you can tell you're not just reading off a piece of paper.
Exactly.
You're actually a partner. You've been there.
Exactly. You know, looking at the whole athletic makeup right now with college football, do you think there'll be a revision to this whole playoff system?
I think so. You've got a good system. I think it's a great improvement over the back in our day, the AP and the UPI poll, and you could have split national
sure.
champions. And then we went through the whole BCS and computer era, and now it's actually being decided on the field. I think just like with if you look at Division II and Division III, they have more of a tournament type of atmosphere.
And I like that.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. So maybe that might be a way that perhaps this will evolve into that.
Right. And so, you know, where do you stop? Every year in the basketball playoff, it was, 64 teams. Now there's a play-in and 66 teams or whatever it is. And there's always going to be someone who gets cut off, that whole graphic of last in, first out kind of thing. But this year it's probably going to come down to Alabama and Clemson for the fourth year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to see it expand. I'm not sure how quickly, but you could envision eight teams fairly soon.
And I know we have now a lot of bowls, and I'm very happy that the Arizona Bowl is doing so well. They continue to pick up some good sponsorship and national coverage. It's nice that, and I think it's very proper, because we had a bowl here, Dr. Robbins, called the Copper Bowl.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that. And then we had we went dark for a while, and there's no reason why Tucson, Arizona, in the last week of the year, shouldn't be showcased on national TV with our great weather.
Oh, I agree. And last year's game was so exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
The Aggies were going to win no matter what, because both teams were Aggies. But what an incredible football game, and the atmosphere and all of the things that go around that bowl game. And I'm very much looking forward to this year.
How about the redo or the remaking of Tucson's Arizona Stadium?
Yeah, so I think a lot of upgrade on the east side, and people have responded very positively to that. And they'll continue to now move. Dave Hickey, our athletic director, has done an incredible job. He's going to be focusing now on the west side of stadium. But, when the stadium's full, and the ASU game didn't quite turn out the way we wanted it to.
No, it didn't.
You know, good for the Sun Devils. They stole it from us, but it was really great to have a daytime game and see the thing full, and it was a great atmosphere. So I look forward to the renovation that's going to be coming over the next couple of years and make it even a better fan experience.
And there'll be fewer seats, which I think will enhance the experience, because let's face it, there's been this trend all over the country, and universities are rethinking kind of the whole stadium plan.
Yeah, when I was at Stanford, you know, that stadium was built in the 20s.
I remember it.
It seated 90,000. Yep. We tore the thing down, and by the start of the next season, we had a 50-something seat stadium. Before that, the average home attendance was about 32,000. Now the thing's full and they're winning, and that'll do. It's like Brett Favre said when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. He said, "I don't know what that word schism means in the locker room, but I do know that once we started winning, people stopped using that word. So winning cures a lot of ills."
It does. Let's talk a little bit about tuition. That'll be coming up. That discussion has already begun, I know. What are we looking at in 2019?
Yeah, so we have a process that we go through, and we just had a call recently with President Chang, President Crow, and Executive Director of ABOR, and the board chair. We talk about these things year-round, but we're moving into the tuition setting, which will be in the spring semester. We talk to the students because I've always used the analogy of healthcare and higher education. We need to provide the highest quality education at the lowest cost with the best service to our students, just like we would do in the healthcare arena. And of course, unless we're going to enact the Bernie Sanders plan of free tuition and free college for everybody, somebody has to pay for this. Now, one of the things that we have not got as much support for is from the legislature about supporting our state universities. And President Crow's been on this for a long time. And I think, we'll have some discussions around that because, you know, we're at 50% of the level we were, say, a decade ago. Mm-hmm. So there are always discussions around money and tuition for our students and how we help them realize their hopes and dreams. They've got to be able to afford to go to school to be able to graduate and get out there. So it's always a very intense discussion.
Yeah, I think 30 years ago when I came to town, the state support was almost 75%.
That's right.
So
now it's about 10.
It's about 10. And some universities, I think about the Michigan model, they're pretty much have very little state
That's
support,
right.
right?
That's right.
So that's definitely a trend.
It is a trend. And I think, you know, the issue, of course, would be Oregon, for instance. They sort of abolished their ABOR type board, or not in terms of oversight, because they still get state money, but they gave each of the universities more control at the local level with their own board of trustees and things like that. So there are different models around the country, and I think the good news is we've got three universities. The bad news is we don't have a sort of a Cal State system, and our community colleges are also suffering. But we're working with our community colleges to try to focus, at least in our strategic plan, a big focus on transfer students.
I think that's very wise. Yeah. Pima Community College does a great job.
That's right.
And they fly under the radar, and they had most of their funding cut, which I feel was incredibly short-sighted by the legislature.
I agree.
To cut Pima. But more and more collaboration with the University of Arizona is the way to go.
And not only Pima, but Cochise. I was out at the Tohono O'odham Community College
right.
in my visit out to the tribal lands there. And, of course, Maricopa. We get there are 200,000 students up there. I think we got 230 transfer students last year. big opportunity for us to have programs up there and to allow students to transfer to Tucson for their second 2 years.
In the remaining minute, what is the enrollment right now? What are your projections?
Well, we're at overall at about 45,000, 35,000 undergraduates, roughly 10,000 graduate students. Mm-hmm. And I had initially said that 2025 ABOR goals were, I think, 55,000, somewhere in that range. And I thought there's no way we can do that. But with our online and distance education and our different branch campuses and our global students, there are right. a lot of these micro campuses we're doing. I think we can, especially now this new focus on transfer students, we can continue to grow because it's so important for revenue.
A little bit of drilling going on next door. As I say, the construction is underway. But anyway, we will wrap it up with Dr. Robbins. I want to wish you a very happy Christmas and a fine new year. We'll talk to you in 2019.
Bill, thank you so much, as always,
Thanks.
For the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive. It's a beautiful part of southwestern New Mexico and the southwestern United States. Again, just 3 hours from Tucson. You can visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete listing of many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, tomorrow is a big night for the Arizona Theater Company. It will be the debut of the musical, The Music Man. Arizona Theater Company Managing Director Billy Russo is with me in studio. Billy, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with me in studio. Tell me about what it was like putting this whole project together. And I know there's been some rehearsals and actually the show, you've had actually six or seven shows, haven't you, that are not officially part of the schedule. How do you characterize those?
We characterize them as previews.
Previews. So, yes. Thank you.
So we started performances on Sunday and we open on Friday. What opening really means is that's when we allow the press in and it's open, it's ready to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. So that first week they're still rehearsing during the week, during the day, and fine tuning it, listening to what the audience the feedback is and just perfecting it, but it's still full performances.
Tell me about the genesis of a show when the decision is made from that period where it's a go to the actual curtain up tomorrow night. Give our listeners a little bit of inside information on that.
Well, when we were doing the artistic director search and we were talking with David Ivers, and I was just a consultant at that point with Arizona Theater Company. This was December of 2016.
Whoa.
And that's when
two full years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when we started talking about if we were coming to join this theater that won in our first season, full season together, we wanted to do The Music Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ambitious in scope. It's huge. And I'm really glad we had that amount of time to put it together. So we did that. We started rehearsal in late November, and here we are.
You've got some real stars involved, not only on stage, but behind the scenes. One gentleman is really a sound designer that is Abe Jacob.
Abe Jacob
is renowned with a capital R.
Yeah, he is the person kind of credited with coming up with the title sound designer. There was really not a sound designer before. He came in and had to put a sound system together for the original production of Hair.
Mm-hmm.
He did Hair, Pippin, Jesus Christ Superstar, A Chorus Line, and he is an Arizonan. Mm-hmm. And I saw a picture of Abe, I think he was about 10 years old, at the stage door of the temple, and he was in a theater production. And now he is retired here, but he still works on these musicals with us. And three of his nieces and nephews are in the production of The Music Man, so it comes full circle.
Wow. How about the Temple of Music and Art as a venue, Billy Russo?
It's a jewel. It truly is one of the most intimate houses that the audience still feels very close, but it's a Broadway-sized stage. And it's just a really inviting and welcoming place to see theater that is produced right here. It's not a touring show. It's produced here, and it's just I think one of the most beautiful theaters that I've been in.
Tell me a little bit about ATC and the way it has now evolved. What kind of a schedule do you have for this year and next year?
You got
The Music Man now, but then what about 2019?
2019, our season, this goes through, this season goes through June.
Okay.
So we have August Wilson's two trains running, American Mariachi and a new play, Things I Know to Be True.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to really do an eclectic array of shows that show all the different ways that stories can be told in the theater.
What are the challenges, Billy, with something like Music Man, where the content is so familiar to everyone? How do you make that then fresh?
I think if you are very pure in terms of approaching the work, you don't have to necessarily set it in a different time.
Or do a redo.
No. But this one, I think, speaks very very much to today in terms of the slickness and trying to get ahead of, you know, one person for self-interest, but then that, you know, love and truth can actually win out. And it sounds corny, but it's actually, it's not, it's very moving, and it is relevant, and it's nice to have it look back instead of trying to bang people over the head by updating it to today.
How about the cast?
It's a cast of 31.
Ooh.
Which I think is the largest that I could find in the records at ATC.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really exciting, of those 31, 17 are Arizona artists.
Wow.
We've got 17, of that 17, five are kids and six are students.
Mm-hmm. How is the business changing? And I know you've done consulting and you're from New York originally. How is the whole theater business changing, Billy Russo?
I think it's changing in that the way people consume their kind of entertainment has changed so much, and yet the theater by its nature has to remain a live performance on a set schedule. It's not, you know, whenever you want to see it at home, you press
with your device, right?
Yeah.
In this age of social media and devices, it is interesting to think, how is theater going to change with that, or does it necessarily have to?
Well, I think by its nature, it is, it's a communal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as more and more of it, the world becomes device-driven, the more special and unique experience theater is, which is funny. That's one of the oldest art forms, and now it's becoming kind of a new, unique thing to kids who are like, oh, wow, you go sit in a room with people at a certain given time, and it's really, it's an exciting thing to, especially when we do our student matinees, because we make sure that we bring students to the arts because it's not part of the school system anymore. And watching kids experience theater for the first time is, it's thrilling. And listening to what they ask the cast at talkbacks or the artists, they are incredibly insightful.
Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. Again, the venue, Temple Music and Art in downtown Tucson, Scott Avenue. The show runs about 2.5 hours. There's one intermission. And what are your dates that you've got coming up? You've got tomorrow night for the official opening.
And then we play through the 30th of December.
It's every night?
Eight shows a week.
Whoa.
We don't play Mondays except for during the Christmas week, and then we play that whole week between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm. All right, Billy Russo, a pleasure talking to you. What's your own background in theater?
I started as an actor in college and then worked my way into the producing side, and I worked in off-Broadway theaters. I produced the original production of the musical Once and Peter and the Starcatcher, and spent my life there. Then I did a couple of years up in Boston and then came to Arizona and fell in love with the desert.
There you go. You know, you're talking about off-Broadway. Got one more quick question. Mm-hmm. Is Fantastic still playing off-Broadway?
No, it isn't. Unfortunately,
it wasn't that like the longest running off-Broadway show?
I think it was the longest running show.
Show.
In New York.
It was just unbelievable how many decades and decades that show. I was just curious, when I heard you say off-Broadway, I thought, I wonder if Fantastics is still around.
Yeah, it was
around.
A little Sullivan Street theater down in the village. It was like 200 seats or something.
Billy, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Probably go to the website. Would that be a good place?
ArizonaTheater.org.
perfect. There you go. Billy Russo is the ATC Managing Director, and we appreciate him coming by today on the Buckmaster Show. Want to tell everybody, Billy, about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker, Steve, they are busy this time of year, as you can imagine, with all those holiday goodies, all the holiday cookies. Put in your order now for a Danish Kringle for Christmas Eve morning. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
They're right down the block from my house. I go there every Sunday.
There you go. Steve, there's another great testimonial, unsolicited, from Billy Russo, knowing about Mona's, and he knows about, I'm sure, the great bread. My favorite is the rustic bread. Oh, my goodness, the hot turkey.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, we'll take our break right here and be right back on Buckmaster. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and once a month we're honored to have one of our two dozen contributors in the program, attorney Don Luce of Luce Law, whose offices are here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. That book is in its second printing. And Don, I think estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know, is now in its second printing and available.
Well, thank you, Bill. The second edition will be out in January, February.
Perfect for as people start thinking about taxes, and this would be a great time. With the New Year's resolution, many people always say, I'm going to take care of the estate planning this year.
We see a lot of people in January.
Yes, you do. Don, it's always good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
I want to talk a little bit about I want you to fill our listeners in and myself, because I'm confused about this lawsuit concerning Arizona's constitution over what will be an impending appointment to John McCain's Senate seat, an appointment that will be made by Governor Ducey.
Exactly. So here's the controversy. Governor Ducey appointed John Kyle as a temporary replacement for John McCain after McCain passed in August. And the appointment, unless the court rules otherwise, will extend until November of 2020, which is the next general election. Last week, a lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court in Phoenix by five registered voters of different party affiliations against Ducey, claiming that he doesn't have the constitutional authority to essentially have his appointee in that office for approximately 25 months until the next general election. And in support of their argument, they cite the 17th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And you and I were talking earlier about, well, I think most people know what the First Amendment says, freedom of speech.
I have no idea about the
17th. Right. Now, the 17th Amendment says that when a vacancy happens in the representation of any state in the Senate, in other words, a senator seat becomes vacant, the executive authority of the state, in other words, the governor, shall issue writs of election to fill the vacancy. Okay, so that's pretty easy to understand. But wait, there's a provided that the legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof, in other words, the governor, to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election. And here's the last part, which is the key to this lawsuit, as the legislature may direct. All right, so I don't know if that's clear or not, but there are differing interpretations of what that means. Now, the Arizona legislature, and I apologize in advance for how wonky this is, but the Arizona legislature enacted a statute that says if a vacancy in the office of a United States senator occurs within 150 days or less between before the next regular primary election date, and now remember, Senator McCain passed away in late August, mm-hmm. and our general election was in November of this year, mm-hmm. less than 150 days after he passed.
Right.
Then in that case, the appointment shall serve until the vacancy is filled at the second regular general election held after the vacancy occurs.
Which would be 2020.
November of 2020.
Okay.
Approximately 25 months after the seat became vacant. Now, the registered voters who filed this lawsuit are represented by a law firm out of Chicago and a law firm in Arizona. The Chicago law firm was successful in a similar argument that it made in Illinois.
Really?
After Senator Barack Obama was elected president and his seat became vacant.
Hmm.
So they're coming off of a case, and I believe in that case, I haven't studied it, but I believe they actually lost at the trial level and then they won on appeal. In that case, they were able to force a special election in Illinois to find a replacement for the vacant Senate seat. In Arizona, we have a statute that I'm sure is different than the Illinois statute, but the concepts are the same.
Yes.
It's can you essentially have an appointee in the vacant seat for more than 2 years before you hold a special election?
Mm-hmm.
So the plaintiffs in the pending case are asking the court to do this. To declare that it's unconstitutional, being violative of the 17th Amendment, to do what Ducey's doing and to force him to schedule a special election within as soon as possible or no later than 6 months,
mm-hmm.
which would put it in 2019.
So much of the law, as you know, is built on precedent. So here you have a precedent in Illinois. I would think that it may set the stage for Arizona to go that way.
It may. But I still think it's an uphill battle because the 17th Amendment has that five-word phrase at the end, as the legislature may direct.
Gotcha. And, of course, that 17th Amendment would take precedent over the state law.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, so that clause, those words at the end are the key.
I believe so. I believe so. Now, the interesting fact about this vacant seat, I think, is that if the governor's appointee is allowed to fill the seat until November of 2020, that appointee would have been in that seat longer than either the elected senator, John McCain, who was in it for less than 2 years because he was elected in 2016, and would have been in that elected seat for longer than the elected replacement in November of 2020, because that would only be for the unexpired portion of McCain's term, which would at that point be 2 years. And the appointee, if he or she's allowed to remain in that seat, would be there for approximately 25 months or more than 2 years.
Will be very interesting to see how this comes down. Quickly, Don Luce, a judge has found major parts of the 2016 Arizona campaign finance law illegal. What's the takeaway message on that?
Again, it has to do with a statute versus a constitutional provision. Now, in this case, it's uniquely Arizona, and the constitutional provision bars lawmakers from substantially changing voter-enacted laws. That's known as the Voter Protection Act, which was a voter-approved constitutional provision. So in 2016, the Arizona legislature essentially rewrote significant provisions of Arizona's campaign finance laws. All right. And that bill was signed into law by Governor Ducey in 2016. It was challenged as being violative of the Voter Protection Act. The plaintiffs in the case contend that you can't, the legislature can't do it because the voters created the Citizens Clean Elections Commission to make certain decisions, and the changes to the state law essentially take power from the Citizens Clean Elections Commission and place it in the hands of the Secretary of State. Now, it's kind of a technical issue, but again, we're seeing a conflict between a state statute and a state constitutional provision, and the trial court in Maricopa County just ruled that the state statute is unconstitutional. Now, will it be appealed? Absolutely. So eventually the Court of Appeals or the Arizona Supreme Court will be the one who decides whether this is violative of the Arizona Constitution, but the trial court recently found that it was.
All right, Don, I want to carve out a minute or so to talk about estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. This book will be coming out in its second printing after the first of the year. What do you need to know? What's the bottom line?
Well, first of all, estate planning isn't just for people who have massive amounts of money. Most people in our country don't have massive amounts of money, but they still have the need for things like financial powers of attorney.
Yes.
Healthcare directives.
Yes.
A trust to avoid probate, wills to nominate guardians for minor children, and many other things that don't have anything to do with wealth or wealth preservation. Now, for people who do have a lot of money, a trust is an ideal vehicle to pass it to the successive generation, because you can do so without probate if you have a trust and your assets are held in the trust. So those are the types of issues that everyone in Arizona ought to be concerned with. The second edition is coming out in January, February of 2019, and it's a completely updated and revised version of the book, which was first published in 2008.
What is the difference between a trust and a will?
Great question. They both dispose of assets after death. The difference is primarily a trust allows the assets to be disposed of without probate. It is not necessary for the successor trustee to go to the probate court to get authority to dispose of the assets. And as a result, it can be usually done more efficiently in less time and in a private fashion.
Don, where will this book be available? Estate Planning in Arizona. Where can people pick it up?
The easiest place is Amazon.com.
And that would be also the case for your other popular book, Arizona Laws 101?
Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, Amazon.com.
All right. Don Luce, always a pleasure. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Bill, and the same to you.
Don Luce, our legal contributor on the Buckmaster Show. Always a pleasure to see him. He is from Luce Law. Offices in Tucson and Phoenix. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Don Luce and my fine engineer producer Bob Dio, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Steve Rivera and his show Eye on the Ball, great sports show, coming up next.